For him. Those words we can sing every day and know they're true. I forgot to mention, I think, that John Moyers is in Jonesville, Louisiana, preaching at Berean Bible Church today. And they're without a pastor, and they wanted him to come and fill the pulpit and also to talk to him if there's perhaps a way our church can minister to them or help them. So be praying for him today as he talks with our brethren in Jonesville, Louisiana. Please open your Bible today to the book of Galatians. And we're back on track in Galatians again, and we have come to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 particularly. But I'd like us to read verses 1 through 10 and remind ourselves of where we are in Galatians. The Apostle Paul has fought for the first four chapters of Galatians for the doctrine of justification by faith alone in Christ alone against the Judaizers who were trying to teach the Galatians faith in Christ plus works, particularly circumcision and the keeping of Jewish food laws and things of that nature. Paul considered them false brethren and said so. They were teaching a false gospel, and he pronounced anathema on them as defiling the gospel of Jesus Christ and leading people into eternal condemnation. And so he fought for justification by faith alone in the first four chapters, and we've seen in the fifth chapter now he moves to how to live as a Christian. To walk by faith and not by sight, to no longer live under the law in trying to gain self-righteousness, but to live under the gospel of Christ, under grace, so that when we obey God's commandments, we're doing it out of love and thanksgiving to Him. And such living produces the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Those things that we enjoy when they're in others' lives toward us. Kindness, patience, meekness. But Paul is saying, no, these are the things that are to characterize our life. It's the fruit of the Spirit's work in our hearts. It's the evidence that we're saved. And therefore, under grace, every day, we pursue Christ-likeness. And then he says in verse 1 of chapter 6, brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ, that is to love your neighbor as yourself, to love one another as Christ has loved you. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. We're not to compare ourselves with others. The standard is Christ. For each will bear his own load. And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, that is to sin, or to the things of the world, excluding God in his life or her life, the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, that is, eternal destruction before the Lord. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would cause the Holy Spirit, send the Holy Spirit to our minds and hearts to hear these inspired and inerrant words of God through the Apostle Paul, that this is the truth that saves our soul, or the truth that condemns our soul forever. So we pray that it would do the work this morning of saving souls and of edifying God's people, and that we would understand this principle that Paul so clearly expounds in verses 7 and 8, that whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Help us to understand that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. And we introduced this principle a couple of weeks ago, that God holds us accountable for our lives. And what he's saying here in verse 7 and 8 is that God will not be mocked. He will not allow himself to be duped in terms of what we live like and whether our heart is true or false, or whether we try to gain some kind of favor with God through our works to men. He's not deceived. To gain the eternal life that Christ brought through his death and resurrection is to bow before God and admit one is nothing, to take heed that when he stands, he falls, to think he's something when he is nothing. That's what repentance is, to fall before Christ and say, I have failed. I am unrighteous. I have nothing to offer you, and I plead for mercy through your work on the cross and your resurrection, and my faith submits to you from now on, that your commandments will govern my life. What you say goes. And thus we live a Christian life, loving him and keeping his commandments. God will not be mocked, so do not be deceived. Do not allow yourself to be deceived that you're okay when you're not. And that's what Paul is trying to do with these Galatians who had fallen for a false gospel of works and self-righteousness. And so he teaches them that there's a principle that goes throughout all creation. It applied to Adam and Eve in the garden. It applies to us today. And it will apply to everyone who stands before God at last. That whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. And we know this from experience. A doctor knows this. It's common sense. He asks for the symptoms of the patient, and from the symptoms he diagnoses the cause or the disease. Because there's cause and effect. There's sowing and reaping in this creation. God has so determined it that way. Business managers study the reports they have at work on profit and loss, and they studied this, and they try to determine the cause of the profit and the cause of the loss, because whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Sowing and reaping is part of the common sense that God has allowed us to keep, even though we're fallen. And the world revolves around that in terms of business and military and even politics. It also applies to family life. Parents observe their children, and when their parents sin or they do something or say something wrong, they ask the child first, where did you get this? Where did you hear this? Because they know there's cause and effect. They know there's sowing and there's reaping. It's just common sense, but it's more than that. It's biblical law. And God governs this universe by sowing and reaping. And so when we look at children and how a parent is to raise their child, even they sow, they reap what they sow. Paul said to fathers in Colossians 3:21, do not exasperate or provoke to anger or cause your child to lose heart so that they will not lose heart. Do not exasperate them, changing the rules. being too harsh, requiring perfection when you're not perfect yourself. He says, do not provoke your children to anger in Ephesians 6:4, but rather bring them up in the nurture and discipline of the Lord. We provoke our children to anger when we sin against them. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Whatsoever a man sows, that he reaps. But sometimes cause and effect can be judged wrongly in this fallen world. We see a person who works hard to serve others in the workplace or in the home workplace, and yet we ask, what is the cause? Could it be that they are trying to honor the Lord Jesus by their character, by their kindness, by their graciousness, remembering that he has sacrificed himself unto death for them so that they may be an instrument of grace and love in this world? Or maybe it's because they're trying to get the attention of others. They're trying to get a reputation before others. Or they're trying to manipulate someone to get what they want. Or maybe they work with a grudge in their heart, bitter, that they have to do these things in order to live or to keep favor with the family or to keep favor in the workplace. And so their heart is wrong while they're doing hard work. Maybe they're just working for a paycheck and they don't care about the people they serve or the people they work with. They just want to get the check, get out of there, and get home. Don't want to interact with the people in the workplace, that perhaps there is some soul that's on its way to hell there without a Savior, and that we could pray for them, we could love them, we could bear witness to them of the Savior's love to ourselves and what is there for them if they would but grasp it. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. In our nation, the civil religion of America is that God has blessed America and its citizens with prosperity, so America must be God's nation. I want to remind you that according to Scripture, the last nation that was God's nation was Israel under the Mosaic covenant. And now we are under the new covenant of Jesus Christ. Only those who are born again see and enter that kingdom. And although God causes the rise and fall of nations, just because we may be blessed with prosperity and even peace in the land compared to other nations of the world, does not mean that our civil religion of God bless America saves our soul. But I'm afraid that this is spread throughout the land. And you hear people and they say, you know, I've had such a blessed life. My children have lived. My spouse is kind. I've had a good job and now I've got a good retirement. God has blessed me so. But they may not have any awareness of their danger before God's judgment for their sins. Somehow they've gotten the wrong message about whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap, because they have sown to the world and they have reaped the world, but they have not sown to Christ and reaped eternal life. We read Psalm 73 this morning in our call to worship, and this was a problem for David or Asaph or whoever wrote this psalm, that they saw the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper. And they started out with the confession of faith. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. God is good. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling and I almost slipped, for I was envious of the wicked as I saw their prosperity. There are no pains in their death. They're not in trouble as other men. They are not plagued like mankind. Pride is their necklace. They brag that everything they've done themselves. They are self-made men and women and have accomplished everything by themselves alone and not acknowledging the God who gives them each breath and each heartbeat and each morsel of food. Such pride and arrogance. Why does God let them live? Well, I'm thankful he does, because he let me live to find him. And he's let you live to find him. And understand that all that matters in this life is finding Christ and living for his glory. So he went down to the temple, and in the temple where he saw the sacrifices for blood, shedding of blood for sin, where he saw that there had to be a high priest to go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat, or there would be no mercy, no forgiveness. He went down to the temple and saw their end, that they will stand before God without a Savior, without forgiveness, and that they will be cast forever into the eternal darkness, which Jesus taught more on than anyone in the New Testament. So, when we come to this passage this morning, we're looking at a major doctrine of the Bible. And what I want to do first this morning is illustrate a couple of instances where sowing and reaping is revealed so clearly in the Bible, and then to talk about how this principle works in our hearts and what are some illustrations of it in our lives. So first, let me use a couple of examples of sowing and reaping in the Bible. And the first one I'll go to is Adam and Eve. There's a lot of talk today, and some of you here do a lot of reading upon the covenants of God in the Bible. And there's all kinds of arguments and disputes and all this stuff going on at a scholarly level or at pastors' levels and laymen too, as they, church members too, as they try to understand God's plan in the whole Bible. But if you understand it at all, you have to start with Adam and Eve and understand that God made them perfect and without sin in his image. But he gave them a command, a law. And that law was that you shall not eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. You may eat from every other tree in the garden, including the tree of life, which would bring eternal life to them. That is, blessings eternally, even greater than just being perfect in the garden. But if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day you shall die. So whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. To Adam and Eve in the garden. Obey me for blessings or disobey me and die. And all of us still live under that covenant by nature. The problem is that we already are dead under the curse. And there's no way that we can gain the perfect righteousness to get back in God's favor. Because God has said, the soul that sins, it shall die. And we look in the garden and we see what happened. And we look in the rest of the Old Testament and we see how man lived after the fall of Adam and Eve. Their foolish heart was darkened by death, spiritual death, as well as physical death. And it spread throughout all mankind to the point that God said, this is enough. And he sent Noah to build an ark, and he destroyed the world by water. Because what men sowed, they would now reap. And as a result, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God still. And we're still sowing, if we're not believers in Christ and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we're still sowing to sin and are reaping judgment to come. So how can an Adam, an Eve, and a child of Adam, a daughter or son of Adam, how can you overcome that rule? Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. And the Bible says there is one who can. And his name is Jesus Christ, called the last Adam of 1 Corinthians 15. The last Adam. Not the second Adam, but the last Adam. He is the one who so perfectly kept the law. Whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. That he qualified himself with righteousness to go to the cross and die for the unrighteousness in order to make atonement for their sins and to present them forgiven and righteous before God. For in Jesus Christ, if you sow to him, you shall reap eternal life. And right now, today, you're sowing or reaping to something. You may be sowing to work and not thinking much of Christ, and you may reap riches from work, but what about your soul? What about eternity? Not these 60, 70, 80 years that we live, but infinite years, either with God or apart from God in hell. What then? You may be sowing to school and your studies to make something of yourself or to accomplish certain purposes, but if you're leaving Christ out of the first thought of your mind, the first picture of your mind, the first purpose of your life to live for his glory, and you stand before him, what then? Because you see, whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. And if you're not loving your spouse like you are called to by God, a husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, and all that Christ did for a man's own soul, if you're not seeking to love your wife in the same patience and kindness and self-denial and self-sacrifice that Christ did for you, you're sowing something, but you're not going to like what you reap. And if you're so consumed with your work that you don't sow to the salvation of those around you and a faithful witness, a forgiving spirit, a love that is patient and kind, is not jealous, does not seek its own way, what then shall you reap? Well, there's a law. Whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. And the only way we can reap the fruit of the Spirit is through sowing in Jesus Christ as our Lord as well as Savior. Every day we look to him and we live. Every day we remember him and we live. And it is the life and the love and the death and resurrection of Jesus that changes our hearts to sow righteousness and reap God's glory. So Adam and Eve lived by that rule. And if God had not sent the last Adam in that grace covenant that began in Genesis 3:15 to be announced to Adam and Eve and all the way through the Old Testament, none would reap righteousness or eternal life. But there's a second person that I want to mention, an illustration, and that's Saul of Tarsus. And Mitch and I did not get together and plan this, those of you that went to Sunday school. We say that almost every week, don't we? One way or another. It's because God's gospel is one, and it's throughout the entire Scripture. God's truth is one, it's throughout the entire Scripture. And when you understand that, all the Scripture comes alive with Christ. Nevertheless, we think about Saul of Tarsus. He lived for the praise of men, that he was righteous and religious. And we saw that in Galatians 3 and in Acts 9 this morning, and look at Acts 22 later, Acts 26 later, where Paul explained how Jesus Christ stopped him on the way to hell. Self-righteous, even to the point of destroying Christians, to gain a higher position for himself, to put one in jail that he may get the approval of men. That is so evil. So unloving that it deserves God's wrath. But maybe there's some way that you sacrifice another to get your own way. You don't think about what they're thinking or what they're feeling or what position they're in, and you just want to get your way, and they can tough it. They can go their own way, figure it out for themselves. Thankfully, the Lord did not do that with his disciples, nor any of us here who profess his name. But that hardness of heart, of not looking to Christ to sow righteousness in this life, Saul of Tarsus was willing to sow sin to get the approval of men, to gain a higher position. He was covetous of what others had, and he was willing to destroy lives to get what they had. Reputation, success in work, possessions, gold, silver, houses, sheep, whatever. He was willing to sell his soul to get what he wanted. And he let nothing stop him, even destroying others. He was willing to lie, to manipulate, to steal. I hope it's not true, but there might be someone here, I know it was true of me at one time, who steals from your mama's purse to get what you want. Or from your daddy's wallet, and they don't know and they've never known, but God knows. And you're sowing something that's going to be reaped one day. To steal, to lie, to cheat, to withhold the truth that needs to be spoken. Whatever you man sows, that also shall he reap. So Christ broke through the hardness of the Apostle Paul. And in a moment, he appeared to him on the Damascus Road and effectually called him to salvation and faith. Now, none of us here have had that Damascus Road experience that Paul had, but you can be sure of one thing, and that is if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, at some point in time in the past, the Lord Jesus revealed himself to you by his Holy Spirit. Out of his love and kindness, he brought you to himself in salvation. And you must never forget that. You must never forget it every morning you wake up. You must not forget it when you speak to any person at any time. When you go to work and a bad boss and ungodly fellow workers, he died to make us good, not just to bring us to heaven. And we honor him and glorify him in the world when we seek to live for his honor the way he has commanded us to live. He didn't ask us to keep the Ten Commandments. He called us he commanded us to keep them. And his commandments to love God, and his commandments to love our neighbor, and his commandment to love one another in this body and other Christians outside this body as he first loved us. And whatsoever a man sows or doesn't sow, that also shall he reap or not reap. So how are you sowing? To what are you sowing today? The Lord Jesus broke into Paul's world and effectually called him out of darkness into light, out of death into life eternal, and out of hell into heaven. And Paul understood his own sin so much that he was willing to dedicate and commit his entire life and everything he did from that moment on to the honor of Jesus Christ, to love him, to worship him, and to obey him, no matter the cost. Is it so with you? There's no one here who has perfectly done that, but there's plenty of us here that want to. And all of us who have been shed, who have been saved by the blood of Christ, in the right way, owe him our life. not to make up for our sins, but because he's given us the life to live by his grace. The Apostle Paul, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians 4, this passage I've come to love so very much because it's the best thing to keep my mind straight. Whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. What are you sowing to? And this is how Paul sowed in verse 11. As an apostle, as a preacher, this is perfect for pastors, but it's also perfect for parents and husbands and mothers and wives and people that go to work. There's something in this passage about sowing and reaping that Paul understood and therefore gave him power and the willing heart to use up his life to bless others. Are you doing that? Here's what he said in verse 11. For we who live, we Christians who live, are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4:11. Are being delivered over to death in this life for Jesus' sake, for his glory, for his honor. So that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh, that the power of Christ, what he was like in his character, may be seen by those around us, may be manifested to those around us. That's the high calling of the Christian. That takes a calling above everything else in our lives. To love God and keep his commandments, to bear witness of Christ everywhere we go. Whether we're with friends and we may, this is something young men and women go through as they grow up and enter high school and then into workplace or into college if they go. And they're surrounded by friends and they may even profess the name of Christ. But Christ is not the love of their hearts. Christ is not the one that's on their lips. They're not talking about how to live for his glory. They're talking about how to live what they want to do in this world. They're focused on pleasure instead of holiness. Whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:12, so death works in us, but life in you. Do you see what he's saying? He is sowing his own life into death that the fruit may be grown in their life, that he may reap eternal life in the souls of others. Verse 13, but having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke, which is meaning I believe the truth of God's word, therefore I'm going to say it no matter what happens to me. I believe, therefore I spoke. We also, we Christians, we apostles, we preachers also speak. I mean, believe. Therefore, we also speak. Knowing, and here's what Paul knew. This is what was on his mind all the time as he sought to sow unto Christ and reap unto eternal life. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. He no longer lived with men according to the flesh. He didn't think of men according to the flesh, he says in the next chapter. He thought of men and women and children as eternal souls that have an eternal destination at the moment of their death. And if they do not hear of a Savior or come to the Savior, they will be eternally condemned before God and live eternity in the everlasting darkness where the worm does not die, Jesus said. And the fire is not quenched, Jesus said. He had eyes that saw from the perspective of God, and therefore he sowed his life to reap their lives. That's called love. That's what a husband does. That's what a wife does, a parent, a child that loves God. a Christian does with other imperfect Christians like they are. It's what a Christian who's been saved by grace does with their unbelieving friend or enemy. Because whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. And he continued in verse 15, and this is an amazing statement. I want you to look at it. Look at your wife, look at your spouse, your husband, your children, your friends here, your friends that are unbelievers in your family or at work or your neighbors. Think of that when you hear these words of Paul, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. All things in his life were for their sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. That was Paul's worldview. That's how he thought about everything. Everything he said, everything he thought, everything he did. And he was not perfect, though an apostle. But that was the direction of his heart and life. Is it yours? What are you sowing to? And as a result, he could say in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, that is, we are dying, he said, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Don't you want your inner man to be renewed day by day? This is how you live. If you sow to this life, you will reap daily renewal. If you don't sow to this life, you will reap despair and discouragement and fear, worry, anger, bitterness, whatever it may be. And then in verse 17, he put it all in perspective. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. He really didn't care if his life had inconveniences, rejection, suffering, whatever it may be from the mouth or the eyes of others. That was not where he was living. Because he knew that any light affliction that he endures, and it's all light compared to what Jesus endured on the cross for you or for me. It's always light. For all that he is doing, the light affliction that he has endured is producing an eternal weight of glory to God. But here's the attitude you have to have in verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Whatsoever a man sows to, that also shall he reap. And if you're focusing on things temporal and Christ is out on the edges of your mind or your life, instead of at the center of how you're thinking each day, you shall reap what you sow. Paul found freedom from the tyranny of his coveting, an obsessive desire to have what others have, house, car, clothes, reputation, whatever it may have been. He was in bondage to what other people thought of him and what things he could have that other people had. And he found freedom from this tyranny of sin in Christ. Christ's undeserved love and the heaven he granted Paul was all that he needed now. And he learned to be content in whatever circumstance he was in, he says in Philippians. So as a Christian, he sowed bringing grace to other sinners like himself and reaped the riches of seeing grace spread to more and more people that they may join him in heaven one day. And there is no greater blessing than to see God's grace work in another person's heart, whether it's your child or your spouse, whether it's another friend, a co-worker, because that's what lasts, you see. Nothing lasts but that. Your soul conformed to the image of Christ and the work that leads to the salvation and the sanctification of other sinners like yourself. That's what lasts. And whether you're digging ditches or teaching school, or whether you work in the workplace at manual labor, or whether you're in an office somewhere, the only thing that really matters is how your life is used for the glory of Christ and the benefit of others. Whether you work in the home or outside the home, that's all that matters. Because whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Now, I can't quit without expressing one thing that I hope will be an encouragement to you, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 3. And you can look up what I've read to you. I think the last time that at the last judgment, books will be open. The small and the great will stand before God, before the throne. The dead were judged according to the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. Paul said we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, even if we're Christians. Not to be punished for our sins, but to be blessed for what we've done in the name of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church to quit putting emphasis about who brought the gospel to them, whether it was Paul or Apollos or Peter. These men don't matter. What matters is Jesus Christ they set before these men. And he said in verse 14, if any man's work, well, let's start back in verse 10. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that's what the three of us elders have been trying to do with our lives and here with you. That the foundation of your mind, your heart, your soul, your eternity is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. That is the day of judgment. Because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. And that is something that all of us should be looking toward. That God is so gracious that he gives us rewards for obedience when it's not perfect. He's so full of grace. In Christ, he looks at our seeking of obedience and sees the righteousness of Christ and blesses us for what we attempt to do for his glory. That's really encouraging to me. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is through fire. So you see, as Paul taught, as Jesus taught, even the Christian will stand before God and give account for their life. It isn't that we're going to be judged for heaven or hell according to what we have done, for that is only through faith alone in Christ alone. But what we have done will give testimony to the life that we've lived for Christ or not. Has the grace of Christ been sown into your heart by the word of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit, so that now the greatest treasure of your life is Jesus Christ? That everything else is far dimmed by comparison, and that you will no longer allow the things of this world or the people of this world to determine your obedience to God. But Christ alone stands before you saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And your heart says, I love you, so I will. There are several principles of sowing and reaping that I'm not going to have time to go through, but I'm going to go through two. John 6:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, sowing and reaping. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him, remains, sowing and reaping. Your refusal to come to Christ only means that you're reaping a greater judgment of God's wrath that now rests upon you. And the only thing that you can do to escape the judgment against your sins and failures and the wrath of God against evil that is in your heart and mind is to flee to Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, and plead for mercy, which he gladly gives. The one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out, he said. And he said on earth in John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, that he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment. That means condemnation. But has passed out of death into life. If you sow in Christ, you shall reap eternal life. And Jesus said also, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they also will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are they, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For if you sow to righteousness and reap persecution, there is something greater that you reap. And that is the approval and blessings of God and the rest of heaven. Whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. As Christians, if you have been reaping or sowing where you shouldn't, you need to repent and sow in the right place and reap the benefits not only of the Lord's pleasure in your life, but of the blessings he brings for obedience in this life and the next. But if you're sowing to yourself and what your life is about and what you want to do and everything's material and worldly and you're focused on that instead of Christ, just remember, whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of Scripture, that you rule over all creation to make sure that your word is kept, that you will bring justice to all men for their lives, and those who rest in Christ will be brought to mercy and eternal life, and those who don't will reap what they've sown as well. I pray that all of us here would reap eternal life. I pray that every soul here would flee to Christ in humility and recognize the condemnation of their sins before God and find the refuge of mercy and forgiveness in the cross of Jesus. And for all of us who are Christians who've become confused and distracted by the things of this world, help us today to have done with lesser things and sow unto Christ and reap unto eternal life and the blessings of God. In Jesus' name, amen.